Life, Love, and Family with Dr. Tim Clinton. Licensed professional counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, president of the nearly 50,000 member American Association of Christian Counselors, executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University, and best-selling author. Life, Love, and Family.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Family. Hi, this is Bill Scott. Today we're going to talk about broken marriages. How's your marriage going? Are you struggling with being close? Maybe it's worse than that. You don't even know each other. The distance is so big, you don't even know that you can make it back. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship when you just think, I don't think he loves me anymore. Today, we're talking about how couples, in the name of love, lose at love. Our special guest today, none other than our very own Dr. Tim Clinton. Dr. Tim, a lot of marriages are in trouble, aren't they?
Ecclesiastes 9:9, Bill, says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
All the days of your life, because that's your calling, your blessing in life. The challenge, Bill, is it seems like everything in life competes for our affection, our love for one another. Everything's working against our closeness. And the challenge then is, how do we keep our hands together? As we move into this idea of marriage for a moment, Bill, let's offer up a guilt-free drop. And that,
Okay. First
of all, is this. All marriages are going to go through periods of disaffection.
Okay.
Times when you don't feel close. When it's not the way it's supposed to be, when you kind of look over at that person in the middle of the night thinking to yourself, I don't necessarily know if I really like you right now.
Mm.
And I don't know what's happened to us, and this isn't feeling real good to me. Now, problems are never going to be the issue in your marriage. Everybody's going to have problems. It's what you do with those problems or in the midst of those problems that will determine the future health of your marriage. Let's just step back for a moment and let's talk about what it's like to be in a counseling office with a couple who don't like each other anymore.
Okay.
They have a secret. Their secret is simply this. I'm not happy with you, and I don't know how to tell you that, or maybe I'm telling you, but whatever is going on between the two of us, it's not clicking. It's not resonating. And all that's happening is there's more distance. It's growing between us.
Mm.
Very first things I try to teach students who want to become marriage and family therapists is simply this. When you have that couple in there, there's the issue of two rights. In her mind, she's right. Bill, you're a very sick, troubled man.
Mm.
The problem is, Tim, he doesn't love me. That's the problem. And in Bill's mind, if he's sitting there, he's saying what?
Well, I'm just saying she doesn't get me, man. She's just not there for me. She has no clue. I mean, what? I'm trying so hard and she's just not receiving
it. And she rides me constantly.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
always nagging me. It's pathetic what's happening between us.
She pushes my button.
She makes me crazy.
Oh, man.
You can't make her happy. And
yeah.
So let's go back then. In his mind, who's right?
Right, exactly.
He's right. In her mind, who's right?
She is.
And there's an airtight case here against each other. The challenge is this. We often offer action-oriented solutions to couples who are in trouble. We tell them, Bill, to go on a date night.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been on a date night with somebody you don't like?
It's happened.
Been there. Have you ever had a kissing night with somebody you don't like?
Yeah.
Think about it for a second. Don't you think they've tried to work things out as a couple? Of course they have. They've prayed together. They've gone to church. They've asked God to change their heart. They've done all kinds of things. And I'm not minimizing those things, but what happens is usually we get way ahead of ourselves. And see, counselors often do that too in marital therapy. What we need to do is step back. And here's what I want to do, Bill.
Okay.
I want to take us through an understanding of this path of disaffection, how in the name of love, we often lose at love. Let me say that again,
okay.
How that in the name of love, we often lose at love, and then this cycle of disaffection that kicks in when we're hurting, when we can't see each other very well, when we're preoccupied with, you're not loving me. Boy, I can tell you this, Bill, the thing I hear most often in counseling is simply this one statement. Dr. Tim, all I've ever wanted is for somebody to what?
Love me.
And is it wrong to want to have somebody love you? Of course not. God made you that way. And the problem is that it's just not working between us. So let's talk about the everyday pressures that tear at love and relationships. I try to step back, first of all, and talk about stress. I believe most couples don't understand the level of stress or what's working against their love and marriage. What I usually have them do is to step back, not step out of their relationship. Let's just step back for a moment. Here's what we know. 40 to 50% of today's couples are going to wind up in divorce. John Gottman, who is at the University of Washington in Seattle, did a little study of all the studies out there on marriage. Here's what he found. If you count couples who separate but don't divorce but never come back to the marriage, that statistic is going as high as 66 or 67%. That's a bunch of people who are hurting in their relationships.
I had no idea. That's the vast majority.
Well, Bill, then go a step further. Think about behind closed doors in the quiet corners of a lot of hearts where there's distance, where love's gone bad, where people are on the receiving end of somebody's emotional blows. You know, I mean, just getting in each other's face. Go ahead, push me. You want to push me, go ahead. Or you've got somebody who maybe is shoving you around.
Yeah.
And over a cup of coffee when they're gone, your heart cries out, God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. This is not what love's all about. This isn't what my dad and I prayed about when I was a little girl. And now I'm stuck in it. I don't even know why. All I know is it's not the way it's supposed to be.
That's heavy.
Stress. If we draw a circle and put a couple inside of it, let's just think about some of the things that makes love and marriage tough.
Well, just finances for one, right?
Money, Bill, ranks number one.
Okay.
On the chart today.
Maybe it's just having a house full of kids, or maybe even have a challenged child that has to have that much more energy, or not even a challenged child physically, but one that rebels.
Marital satisfaction is known to go into the bottom of the bucket when kids enter marriage. Can you believe that? And usually hits rock bottom when our kids hit their teenage years.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't rebound till they leave.
Up and out of the house, yeah.
Problem today, most kids leave and then they...
They come back. Two, three, four times.
And so you start thinking about it. It isn't that kids are a problem. It typically is the fact that we have trouble resolving our conflict and then compound it with maybe an extra effort kid or kids who are rebelling or going through their teen years, and really makes it tough. And we don't have a lot of emotional energy then to give to each other.
Wow.
And compound relationships even more, Bill. Maybe it's dad's sick or mom's going through an illness. Maybe we're going through grief of some sort. Maybe we've gotten a phone call. Somebody's got diabetes or cancer. And it just becomes tough, and it seems like everything. We don't have any time for each other anymore. Our work responsibilities, everything's intrusive, and we're getting bombarded by a million different directions. And then let's go back to that cup of coffee. You're just sitting there with over a cup of coffee thinking, this isn't the way it's supposed to be.
No, you know how it's supposed to be, or at least how you envisioned it's supposed to be.
What's interesting at this particular point, Bill, is negative communication patterns then start when relationships aren't the way they're supposed to be. What do you mean by that? What happens, Bill, is because we're made for love in relationships, and because there's distance now, whether it's very subtly or unintentionally, nevertheless, we've got distance between us, our heart cries out, all I want is for somebody to love me. And what I'll do in those moments is I'll start saying things to get you to love me. I'll say, Bill, the problem is you never show me that you love me. The more I think about you and your family, you know what? Your whole family's messed up. You know that? Your whole family, your dad never showed love to your mom. That's the problem. You guys don't get it, do you? And is she trying to hurt you? What's interesting in understanding the communications research here for a moment, you'll learn that she isn't necessarily trying to hurt you. She's just trying to get you to what?
Trying to get you to own up and say, okay, I'll do better. I can overcome all those things.
She's just trying to get you to love her.
Wow.
Think about that. When he starts criticizing you, and we're not condoning it, I want everybody to understand that what we're talking about is how negative communication patterns start to erupt in relationships and what they start doing to our relationships. He's just trying to get you to love him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Gottman found in his research. If that criticism level doesn't work, it'll downward spiral. And you'll start saying things with the intention to hurt now.
Wow.
You know what? You want to go home for Thanksgiving, Christmas? I'm not going. You know why? Because you're totally messed up. And the truth is, your whole family is. I'm going to go home for Thanksgiving with you. Oh, yeah. Second thought, I'm going to do that. And when we get there, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell your mama and your daddy exactly what their son is like. Do you hear what I'm saying? I can't wait to get up there.
There's conversations.
Hey, when are we leaving? Oh, yeah. And see, the tension continues. Now, again, in the communications model, what are we doing? Are we trying to hurt each other?
No, you're just trying to be loved.
Just trying to get somebody to love me. It even gets to a place where Gottman talked about defensiveness, where even random acts of kindness are now reject, and then you get rejected, and then you get to a place where you stonewall, meaning, you know what, you just draw a line in the sand between the two of you, and you say, you know what, you're never getting through there again. I will never let you hurt me again. You know why? Because I can't. Let me go back to the counseling session. Dr. Tim, the reason I can't do it is why? Every time I try to make it work, all he does is what? He hurts me.
Hurts me, yeah.
And I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of it. I can't take this anymore. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you blame her for that?
No. Who wants to be hurt?
Do you blame him for that?
Not at all.
One guy told me recently, Bill, he said, when I turn the corner to my house, my heart sinks. And you know what? I just don't want to go there anymore. I'm tired of fighting. When you get out of the truck and all she's doing is coming at you and wanting to scratch your eyes out, I don't want to do that anymore. Let's all get honest real quick. Virtually every relationship goes there. Now, the everyday pressures that tear at love, the communications model that kicks in here. And by the way, go back to the everyday pressures that tear at love. We talked about stress. Let's be honest. If your marriage has any value for God, all hell will be against it. Because he knows if he can bust your relationship, he'll profoundly hurt you, the two of you. Hmm. He'll hurt your kids. Divorce hurts kids, period. If they get through it, it's a resiliency factor. It's a bounce factor. It's not because of the divorce. It's in spite of it. But it hurts them. Maybe it's some patterns we've learned growing up. I talked about your family for a moment. Well, we do learn how to give and receive love. We call that the love language factor. We've learned that a lot from Gary Chapman and others who talk about how we communicate love in different ways. If we're not connecting on that love language, you can be loving someone, Bill, listen to this. You can be loving someone with everything you got, and they don't know you love them.
Yeah, you're loving them wrong. Good intentions don't mean it equals great results.
Well, you're loving them in a way that they don't get it.
Yeah, they just don't understand it.
It's not clicking. Let me relate it to parenting for a moment. You don't love kids the same way.
Right.
Why?
All different personalities, all have different love languages.
Because if you do, you could be loving your children, your daughter gets it, and your son thinks
that's right.
You don't love them. That's what we're talking about here in marriage. Could be maybe some brokenness. Maybe you were hurt or wounded as a child. And don't tell me, Bill, when you're hurt by someone who's supposed to love you or someone you're supposed to be able to trust, don't tell me that it doesn't affect or infect how you do intimacy with other people. It does.
Oh, in massive ways, and you need to figure that out for each other.
I had a buddy tell me this. He said, Tim, I've heard you talk on sexual abuse. He said, let me tell you something. You don't know what it's really like. He said, I do. You know what it's like to have your wife of 18 years when you're sitting in a hot tub together still move away from you because of what her dad did to her?
Wow.
And when you start looking at these everyday pressures that tear at love, eventually you get to a place where you start thinking, it is tough. There is so much that works against our love and marriage. And then you put on top of it this negative communication pattern that starts to envelope our relationship, just trying in the name of love to get each other to love each other. And the tragedy is that we're driving each other away. What it leads to then, Bill, is what is known as a state of disaffection, meaning where you're empty, you're exhausted, and all you want is for someone to
just love you.
Love you. Here's what happens typically right here. If I'm in a session, she'll say to me, Tim, all I want is the old Bill back. Mm. I just want Bill the way he used to be when we were crazy in love. Tim, it was fun. It was easy. It just seemed like he couldn't get enough of me. He'd bring me flowers. He'd call me all the time. He'd want to be with me. And just think about this. All I want is the old Bill back. Now, in this path of disaffection, a cycle kicks in. I want you to get this. Just visualize this in a moment. What you'll do in the first step of the cycle is you will raise the bar. All I want is the old Bill back. And so she brings the expectation back. Remember this. Bill doesn't like her. Mm-hmm. It's not going well. Is Bill going to call her?
No.
Because every time he calls, what happens?
Confrontation.
All we do is fight.
Yep.
Okay, it just turns into a fight. Is he going to send her flowers?
Well, no. I mean, there's no love to send flowers. Why would you?
Yeah, and the truth is, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because I can't please her. It's never enough. And so as a result, she raises the bar. Is it wrong for her to want to be loved?
Nope.
God made it that way, right? Yes. And when you lose that, by the way, you're in a different place. Now, when he doesn't respond, what does it do? In the cycle, when you raise the bar, it increases the failure in the relationship. And she comes back and says, see what happened this week? He didn't call me. He didn't text me. He didn't send me flowers. He never shows me what?
Love.
He never shows me that he loves me. And see, the real problem is not me. The problem is who?
Him.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
He's a sick man. That's the problem. I'm telling you, he doesn't know how to love somebody. You need to see what's in his past. You need to try to understand what's going on in his heart because he's the problem. And then Bill turns around and says what?
That's her. I just give up. I can do to win this battle.
It doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah. I just can't win.
You can't please her. She's impossible. And all she does is pound me.
So you got two people digging a ditch together until they have this massive hole.
What's interesting is the failure produces a lot of frustration and anger. And then what we do is we start pointing the fingers at each other. We start guilting and shaming each other, Bill, is what we do. And that's where it's like this. Oh, yeah? Go ahead. Good. Just mouth off like you always do. Go ahead and say those hurtful things. At least I don't say things to you. Oh, really? Yes, you do. With your actions.
Yeah.
Bumping into me, pushing me around or whatever. You know that? There's no place for that. The tension goes to a level between us that absolutely makes us crazy. Now watch the cycle there for a moment.
Okay.
We raise the bar.
Yeah.
We increase the failure. And then what it does is it increases then how we evaluate the relationship more negatively. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah, you're sitting there at this point and saying, you know what? Maybe the problem is we weren't made for each other. You know what? We started out in this relationship in the wrong way. We know we weren't honoring God in our relationship. And the truth is, we weren't made for each other. That's the problem.
Hmm.
We're just reaping the benefits of all of it and more. And you can hear the story and the spin go on. And what it does then is it leads to an increased need for what I call self-preservation. Meaning, I just can't take the hurt anymore. And so the distance continues. You got it?
I got it.
And what's interesting about that particular place is this. Draw in your mind an upside down triangle.
Okay.
You see it?
I see it.
Put the husband, H, on the top left and W, wife, in the top right hand corner.
Got it.
And that line between them, if it's not the way it's supposed to be, just make squiggly marks in it. If it's conflictual and not close. What we'll do is if we're made for relationship and that relationship's not the way it's supposed to be, what we'll do is we'll pull up into that relationship anything to anesthetize the hole in our hearts, to anesthetize the pain, because love's not the way it's supposed to be. And so, Bill, when we pull it up into there, what happens? We begin to reach for
just all sorts of stuff.
Anything to fill the hole in our soul. So we become
to
workaholics.
Fill the hole in your soul, yeah.
We turn to
friends.
Friends. We turn to our kids.
Yeah.
We turn to porn.
Drugs. Just anything to make you feel better. Self-medicate.
Food.
Yeah.
Perfectionism.
Dangerous
anything
place.
To bring validation to our heart. You see why? Because we feel so empty and broken. Now close the loop. It comes back to the state of disaffection where I feel more empty, exhausted, and more expecting for someone just to...
just love me. Somebody's going to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah. And then what we do is we raise the bar again because I really want to be loved. And all it does is increase the failure, which increases the negative way we view our relationship, which leads to more distance, greater intense state of disaffection. Now let's go inside the circle for a moment. Inside the circle, I put a little inner circle. And what we do is we start threatening each other, making accusations toward each other, and sulking and threatening and accusing and sulking. Here's how this closes for a moment, Bill. I had one lady say to me, it seems like the more I'm fighting for my marriage, it's like quicksand, the worse things are getting. And it's almost better if I just ignore it all. And it leads to this kind of like red zone where in the name of love, we're losing it love in our relationship. And we're at that particular point where we dig our heels in and we say, I'm not doing this anymore. Why? because it hurts so badly. That's why. It's horrible to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they don't love you. At least you don't feel like they do. Now, that's pretty depressing. But if you can see that, here's the beauty of all this. If you can become aware of what's happening in your relationship, guess what you can start doing? You can start on the healing journey. And I'd like to close it up, just this particular show, Bill, with this idea, this thought. Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to throw money into a bottom of a pool?
Yeah.
And you dive in to get it? Is the money where you see it to be?
No.
Exactly. How about this? When you were a kid, do you remember a buddy of yours or somebody had on those big, thick Coke bottle glasses?
Yep, yep.
And hey, you'd say, hey, let me try those on. And you'd put them on and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Here's the idea. When you're hurting like this, you actually believe that you can see him or her for who they really are. Could it be that they're just broken and they're reacting out of their own pain for a moment? They're like pushed back in a corner and all they're doing is defending themselves and they're lashing out because they don't know what else to do. They're just crying out. I'm not condoning anything that's going on. I'm just simply saying this. Could it be that in the name of love, you've lost it, love, in your marriage? If that's true, if that's true, then your heart's crying out, something's got to change. That's not a bad place to be, Bill. Life and love could be different. And that's where we need to go.
Well, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here in the final few seconds. We just can't end with that. It's a great start. We've got to come back tomorrow and start talking about the hope and the rebuilding of the marriage, because there is hope. And so I hope that you'll definitely join us. Know that we pray for you here, that we absolutely care. So can we do that tomorrow?
We're coming back. We'll talk about the journey toward freedom, how to get your love back.
I look around and see my wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. In picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside, oh, I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't, don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams.
Sanctus Real, an anthem to husbands to step it up, to do better, to be more focused on their marriage, because that is incredibly important, Dr. Tim.
It is, Bill. I want to go back to what I said early in the program, and that is I want to offer up a guilt-free drop. All marriages are going to go through times of disaffection, when you don't feel close, when it's not the way it's supposed to be, when there's distance between you, when there are challenges, Bill. Now, let me say this carefully. Problems will never be your issue as a husband and wife. Everybody's got problems. Mm. It's what you do in the midst of those problems that'll determine the future health of your marriage. And here's what I mean by that. If you understood today what I talked about, If you could just get a glimpse at how couples lose at love, how those everyday pressures tear at that relationship, how you get caught up in negative communication patterns, how this cycle of disaffection begins to kick into your relationship, and how in the name of love, you're just trying to love someone, and all you want is to be loved, and that you can begin to lose that love. If you get that, you've taken the very first step toward healing. Because when you can see it, then you can begin to heal it. The most important message, I think, the big takeaway from the program today should be this. The God of Hosea in the Bible, he knows brokenness. He understands betrayal in a relationship. That's what the whole story of Hosea is about. And if you believe that, then I want you to know this. He's in the midst of your challenge right now. And his heart is toward you. It is. And he will go with you through this if you'll turn your heart toward him and say, Lord, would you lead me? Lead me to a place where in my marriage, my relationship, I'm giving everything I can for your glory. If you do that, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I know this. He'll go with you and he will bless you. He will see you through.
Today at Life, Love, and Family, we want to take that first step with you. Dr. Tim, myself, our staff, we have a fact sheet at How Couples Lose at Love. It's yours. It's free. We want you to go to the website, download it, and share it. LifeLoveAndFamily.net. You'll see it right there, the free resource for you. It's the fact sheet, LifeLoveAndFamily.net. Now, something that we would like to do to be able to take this even further with you and your family is offer Love on the Rocks. It's a DVD, How Couples Lose at Love. It's got you, Dr. Tim Clinton, that is actually teaching this DVD program on how to make it through, what the journey looks like, and some great teachable moments.
And Bill, again, it's packed full of information that God taught me personally as I wrestled in my relationship with Julie early on in our marriage when we were kids. It's also packed full of information where I learned the research and the challenges for couples trying to get through counseling together and where the sticking points were. There's beauty in this perspective. If you can see it, you can fix it. If you can see it, you can fix it. You got what I'm saying?
I do.
That's what this video is all about.
It's called Love on the Rocks, How Couples Lose at Love with Dr. Tim Clinton. For your gift today to help support to keep Life, Love, and Family on the air, we're going to send this to you. We suggest a $30 gift. If you could do that or more, that would really help our ministry out. And it's just our way of saying thanks and putting a ministry tool into your hands. So we've got the fact sheet at How Couples Lose at Love. We've got the DVD, Love on the Rocks. It's $30 suggested gift. Now, here's how you do that. Go to our website, lifeloveandfamily.net. You'll see the donation button at the top of the page. That's lifeloveandfamily.net. And you can simply just make your donation and request that DVD. It's our gift to you and your family because we really do believe the best is yet to come. Now, if you'd like, you can pick up the phone and you can do this on our toll-free number. Our staff standing by as we speak right now. 855-455-3264. That's toll free, 855-455-3264.
Life, Love, and Family.